AOPA's Baker says FAA is not the enemy. More details released on that proposed ECI cylinder AD, and O'Hare gets $10 million for taxiway improvements. This is Aero News for Friday, September 27th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. New AOPA President and CEO Mark Baker says that AOPA may, quote, pick up the torch, end quote, as a collection point for information about a follow-on pilot's Bill of Rights, as proposed by Senator James Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma. In an interview with ANN's editor-in-chief Jim Campbell, Baker said that he has met with Senator Inhofe and would be meeting with EAA Board Chairman Jack Pelton about that issue. Baker said he's also a big supporter of the LSA program, though he admits he still has a lot to learn about that segment of the industry. He said it is a good entry point, and perhaps all someone might need to enjoy 15 minutes in the air and keep costs down. But he said it is up to the individual pilot to determine if he or she wants to stay at that level or make it a stepping stone to a private pilot certificate. As for the FAA's billing the EAA and other organizations for airshow ATC services, Baker had this to say.
Listen, I don't think of the FAA as the enemy. I think of the FAA as in a mutual kind of need here to make sure that there's safety in aviation, general aviation, and certainly commercial aviation. And in these times of very significant change in terms of how the administration and how the things are going to be funded, there's just lots of uncertainty. And in meeting with them yesterday, a number of the FAA officials in terms of next gen and other future developments, I think we're all going to end up working together, and I do mean all of us in general aviation and commercial aviation with the FAA to make choices about things that we're going to have to protect to make sure that we have a future in aviation because it benefits all of us. And there are going to be certain things that they're going to have to come off the list. And right now I think they're struggling with significant budget the likelihood that's going to be changing and how do they fit into that. So I think they have as many questions as we do, and we've got to work together for the answers.
You can hear our complete interview with Mr. Baker in three parts on our website at www.aero-news.net. The FAA has published more details behind a proposed AD that would affect engines which incorporate ECI cylinders that could have a wide-ranging financial impact on the general aviation community. In the NPRM, the FAA says, quote, this proposed AD was prompted by failure reports of multiple cylinder head-to-barrel separations and cracked and leaking aluminum cylinder heads. This proposed AD would require initial and repetitive inspections, replacement of cracked cylinders, and replacement of cylinder assemblies at reduced times in service. The proposed AD would also prohibit the installation of affected cylinder assemblies into any engine. We are proposing this AD to prevent cylinder head cracks, engine failure, and loss of the airplane. End quote. The FAA estimates that the proposed AD would affect about 6,000 Continental motors. The agency also estimates that each affected ECI cylinder will be inspected on average 4 times in the first year, and that the total cost of this proposed AD to U.S. operators to change all ECI cylinders to be about $82,620,000. The FAA is accepting comments on the proposed AD until October 11th. U.S. Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox has announced a $10 million FAA Airport Improvement Program grant, or AIP grant, for improvements to Taxiway LL at O'Hare International Airport. The funds will be used for taxiway improvements that are a part of the O'Hare Modernization Program and will reduce the time aircraft are on the runway, decrease aircraft delays, and enhance runway safety. The taxiway will support 2 new runways, runway 10C 28C that opens next month, and runway 10 right 28 left on the south end of O'Hare that will open in 2015. The O'Hare Modernization Program is a $6.6 billion airport improvement project that adds 4 new runways, extends 2 additional runways, and creates multiple new taxiways. These additions and upgrades will improve aircraft ground flow, reduce flight delays, and enhance safety. As a result, O'Hare will transform from an airport that operates with multiple crossing runways to one that will use 6 parallel runways. Air travelers will see more on-time flights, especially in poor weather conditions, and the O'Hare Modernization Program, when completed, will help to decrease annual flight delays by up to 66%. NASA is the ninth largest real property holder in the federal government. However, nearly 80% of the agency's facilities are 40 or more years old. In fact, according to NASA's own study, the agency has a backlog of nearly $2.2 billion in deferred maintenance. That figure includes as many as 865 unneeded facilities, with maintenance costs of over $24 million per year. A recent hearing in the House Subcommittee on Space focused on NASA's efforts to manage its facilities and infrastructure and examined proposed legislation to provide the agency with greater flexibility to manage its aging assets. The pilot of a plane that appeared to run out of fuel and went down in Middleton Springs, Vermont, could not land at his destination airport because it had been closed for a hot air ballooning event. The plane, with two people on board, had been en route to Floyd Bennett Memorial Airport in Glens Falls, New York, on Saturday. A NOTAM had been posted for the airport, indicating it would be closed for the Adirondack Balloon Fest from Friday through Sunday. According to a report from the Associated Press, the pilot told state police that he had turned toward Rutland, Vermont, where he could refuel, but did not have enough fuel reserves to make it to that airport. Other alternate airports were closer than Rutland, but the pilot may have discounted those as they did not sell fuel. When Aero News continues, to boldly go, well, maybe not, round the world under rotors, and one air show the government couldn't stop.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues for Friday, September 27th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The actor who so boldly went to far-flung planets and battled Klingons and Romulans firmly grounded on a soundstage in California has declined an opportunity to fly on Virgin Galactic's Spaceship Two. But actor William Shatner and Virgin Galactic's Sir Richard Branson tell very different stories as to why the actor won't be taking a suborbital flight. Branson says it's because Shatner is afraid to fly. The UK newspaper The Sun quoted Branson as saying, quote, "He actually said he's afraid of airline travel," end quote. But Shatner says it's because Branson told him he'd have to foot the entire bill for the flight, some $200,000. Branson said he has a strict no upgrades or freebies policy for seats on Spaceship Two, no matter how famous you are. Meanwhile, these guys are not afraid. New Expedition 37 crew members Oleg Kotov, Mike Hopkins, and Sergei Ryazansky were welcomed aboard the International Space Station Thursday at 0034 Eastern Daylight Time. The new residents were greeted by Expedition 37 Commander Fyodor Yurchinkin and flight engineers Karen Nyberg and Luca Parmitano. Kotov, Hopkins, and Ryazansky are scheduled for a 5.5-month stay in space, living and working inside the orbital laboratory. They are due to return home in March 2014, landing in Kazakhstan inside the same Soyuz spacecraft that they just arrived in. On September 15th, a pair of Robinson R-66 turbine helicopters landed at a heliport just outside of Moscow, marking the end of a 6-week around-the-world expedition. The historical flight was a first for the R-66 and for Russia. The expedition was organized by Aviamarket, a Robinson dealer in Moscow and a flying club whose members own the R-66s. Aviamarket was eager to test the R-66 as it had just received certification in Russia on March 15th. Both R-66s were outfitted with auxiliary fuel tanks to extend their range. The pilots flew almost 620 miles per day at different altitudes, depending on weather and terrain. Well, we know that sequestration has cut or curtailed a large number of air shows across the country this year, but the government can't take away all of our fun. On Saturday, November 2nd, starting at 1100 Eastern Daylight Time, the Blue Ridge Radio Control Club, Western Carolina Radio Control Club, and Fire Tower Flyers will be performing at a free-to-attend radio-controlled aircraft show at the Greenville Downtown Airport in South Carolina. This soaring over-the-top RC aerobatic event will feature airplanes and helicopters that are capable of flying up to 200 miles per hour and range in weight from 1 ounce to over 55 pounds. These unmanned aerial vehicles will perform high-frequency touch-and-goes, figure-eights, hovers, slow-roll, fly inverted, and do, well, all sorts of other cool stuff in unusual traffic patterns. The last RC show at the downtown airport was on Labor Day weekend back in 2010, and this one will offer a special twist. One club will raffle off a great trainer plane with flying lessons, that's a $600 value, and will also allow people several turns, and I like this, to try and hit some special planes with paintballs for just $5. All the funds raised will be used to help complete a new aviation-themed community park. Now that's how to run an air show. Tally-ho! Oh, and a quick congratulations to our very own Ashley Hale. She's getting married tomorrow. We wish her all the best and wish we could be there. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks as always for listening. You're now cleared for departure.
Well, I think, you know, as I, again, review everything that we do here and to make sure that it's kind of on the mission and that we can, with the resources that we have, and everybody has somewhat limited resources, make a difference. And to make sure that those resources are lined up with making the differences that members want first, and that, you know, I think it all starts with a really fun airport experience if you're going to have either new people or people re-engage in the in this great thing we call general aviation. It's got to start with a good airport experience. And I don't think, you know, call it AOPA or any organization can go it alone with growing the pilot population. I think we have to work as an industry arm in arm to think about what that engagement level is and how we make a positive impression when people have a choice of discretionary time or dollars. And that this this activity has got a access and a call it a reward fun factor for most people that measures up to their expectations. And so that's why I want to start and make sure I fully understand, coming from my perspective of a retailer, are we creating good value for either newcomers or returning